The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
So Marvin Gaye there, let's get it on. But the question is, if you're going out for a meal, what's the best way to get it on in terms of aphrodisiac foods? Well, no point talking to an Irish restaurateur about this. We had to go to the home of love itself, France. And from the city of love is the executive chef at Chateau de Caducerie in Lowry in France. Gary O'Hanlon, regular on the show, joins us. I can never get my head around that pronunciation. What's the name of your chateau?
Yeah, it's Chateau de Caducerie, Ivan.
In Lowry. And tell me this. Okay, is it all a myth that there's such a thing as aphrodisiac food?
Well, I definitely. I mean, I suppose medically it's been proven that there is plenty of it, you know. I mean, it could be a bag of minis or a Star Bar for me. It can set me off, Ivan, I'm not going to lie, you know. But I suppose when it comes to Valentine's menus, there are certain staples that's got to be on there. Whether it's public perception or whether it's medically proven, I don't know. But obviously, oysters would be the one that would stand out there.
Tell me about oysters. Well, I mean, I actually don't like oysters. I find them kind of, you eat them raw and they're kind of oily, yeah. And you kind of slither down and there's a taste to them I don't like.
Oysters are lovely to those. I mean, I like them whenever they're hot, maybe as a beignet or whatever. They say that they're great. They would always be on menus, you know what I mean? I suppose the wild ones are always meant to be served whenever you have a month finished in an hour, and February doesn't have that either, you know. But again, it is something that would always be on the menu. They do nothing for me anyway, that's for sure. But then those that like them absolutely love them, though, you know what I mean? So it's definitely an ingredient that splits the room, you know.
And the standard one that you hear about is asparagus.
Yes.
Tell me, right, is that true?
No. Absolutely, yeah, that's another one that they reckon gets the pulses racing for sure, yeah. Lovely, lovely ingredient. Great, not quite in season here yet. You're starting to see it on the shelves now around here, but not quite the Irish one yet. It'll come into season now in the next 6 to 68 weeks or whatever. But again, a lovely, delicate little ingredient. Lovely on a starter, lovely in anything really, like even in a main course. But yeah, beautiful ingredient and one that I definitely would be putting on now, because it just has the key thing for me, I suppose, anyway, is you want it to be elegant, you want it to be nice, especially if it's a meal or you're going to do like a starter or a main course and a dessert. I mean, that another thing that doesn't do much for anybody, I suppose, is somebody leaving a restaurant absolutely stuffed to the gills either, you know what I mean? They're not in the mood for much after that. I know my house is a quiet one anyway, whenever the feeds get too big, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, asparagus would certainly be a nice ingredient to be using for sure.
And tell me this, can you have asparagus as a vegetable, or is it really as a starter standalone?
Well, you can absolutely have it as a vegetable, like as a side, maybe at home, you know. You'd rarely see it. In fact, you'd never really see it as a vegetable side in a restaurant simply because of its cost. I mean, asparagus spears are very expensive. It's right up there as probably one of the most expensive vegetables that you'll buy. And because they are so beautiful and unique as well, in the sense that it's a short enough season, you really want to be centering a dish around them, you know what I mean? Like, so they're beautiful with Parma ham. They're really, really nice. Something simple, even a little egg mimosa, like a hard-boiled egg, and the yolk grated over it, or even poached, finished in butter. And if you really want to go over the top, then a little bit of truffle as well, and hollandaise. It works really, really nice with as well. So there's lots that you can do. Smoked salmon pairs up beautifully well. If you had a lovely hot smoked salmon that you made and you had some grilled asparagus or even barbecue asparagus alongside that, absolutely fabulous, you know. So nice, light, delicate dish, but make it the star of the show, and not just as a side, you know.
Okay, watermelon. Is that an aphrodisiac?
Yeah, so it's up there actually as one of the most aphrodisiac ingredients that's out there. You know, I mean, what watermelon really would be nice and mucked around with is actually blending in and juicing it, pureeing it and passing it into cocktails, using it like in a little like vodka martini or a little vodka cocktail or something like that there, or then just juicing it into like a little frozen daiquiri, freeze some raspberries and blend it in. Like, I mean, I love to make like little frozen drinks, little frozen cocktails. So that's where I would try and incorporate the watermelon, you know. Again, another thing, like I obviously summertime, everybody likes to talk about barbecuing in the summer and what have you, like, but the wintertime as well, like crank up the barbecue and actually little pieces of grilled watermelon is lovely. And again that can pair up nicely with a little bit of smoked salmon or fruit or what have you, even goat's cheese or feta cheese, something a wee bit salty and sweet works quite well together. Roast beetroot, goat's cheese and a little bit of grilled watermelon, really, really nice as well. So I suppose not one that you would see too often on menus or whatnot, but again, from a medical point of view, yeah, it's meant to get people in the zone, all right.
And just tell me, with watermelon, sometimes there are little black pips in it, seeds in it. Like, could you eat those?
Whenever you come on the seeds, they're almost in there in an almost a line. So it's not like an orange if you're eating a really seedy orange, and there's some here and some there, and the same with a lemon. Like in the watermelon, you can open it up and then you can almost like just take them out in one fell swoop. Like, you know what I mean? You can just sort of slit the knife in and around them quite easy. Then you can buy the seedless ones as well. But look, I wouldn't let the seeds put you off, that's for sure, you know.
Okay.
And they're very easy to spot as well, so you can always just set them aside, like if there's one or two there in a piece that you might have grilled, you know.
Now, you said at the start that chocolate does it for you. Now, I thought chocolate was a thing for women. I mean, dark, rich chocolate, how would you serve it into a dessert?
When I said it does it for me, what I meant was it does it for my wife, or does it for any woman that I've ever been around, or you see, you know, like by me saying that, it's a, I just don't think you can have a Valentine's dinner or a Valentine's meal and not have a good, strong presence of chocolate on the menu, or at least have an offering of some sort, you know. I suppose everybody just, I think it's just the fact that it's one of those universally just adored ingredients. And, you know, you chat about aphrodisiacs, but nothing gets people, I suppose, worked up or in the mood other than stuff that they absolutely love to eat and what they absolutely adore. And chocolate would be like a chocolate fondant or like any kind of, even a chocolate mousse, something simple, you know, a little parfait, chocolate sauce, anything, any way at all that you can incorporate it in there. But look, that's a crowd pleaser if ever there was, you know. Like, I think it's essential, certainly. You wouldn't find too many Valentine's menus from here to France or from France to Ireland and back that wouldn't have an element of chocolate on there on this night of all nights, you know.
Now, I have a huge research department who's gone into the history of aphrodisiac food, and there's Edible Pleasures, a textbook to aphrodisiacs written by Lana Citron, and it has the top five. So oysters, you've mentioned, a la Casanova, shared tongue to tongue. Does that make sense to you?
Oyster shared tongue to tongue, God almighty. Like, there's nothing that would disgust me more than trying to pass an oyster to a partner. I don't know, tell you what, you'd want a fairly skilled set as well to do it.
Next up, we have caviar, bubble bursts of sensuous saltiness.
You know, again, it's a refined palate. It's so, like, people that like caviar, again, I'm not a massive fan, not at all. It's too fishy for me. I really, really don't like it. But again, from an elegance point of view, from, I suppose, always would be one that would be for showing off the wealth, you know, it'd be like a little quenelle of a beluga on a dish or what have you. But again, not for me, but I can see where they're going with that one.
Next up, we have truffles. Black, yes. Diamonds on the table.
Love truffles, I have to say. This is up there as a prestigious ingredient that I would get on board with, you know.
How do you serve or cook truffles?
Well, truffles you just shave raw over an ingredient. Again, you can paste them and you can put them into a dish as well. Like, definitely into pasta dish, into anything. I mean, they're lovely. They really do, though, come into their own in the fall. Like the Alba truffle, which would be synonymous, an Italian truffle, and autumn time or what have you, there's other truffles then. There would be a spring truffle, there's summer truffles, and but definitely around the fall, around autumn is whenever they're at the strongest. But I do like a lovely little bit of pasta with an aged Parmesan and loads of shaved truffle over it. I absolutely love truffle now, I have to say.
And then they have one here that I never heard of before. These are sweet fritters, and they're from Toulouse-Lautrec, Nuns Farts.
Wow, sounds appetizing. Sounds appetizing. I've never heard of it.
Right.
You know, fritters, it sounds like a little beignet of some sort, is it? Like,
I don't know. I mean, you're the expert,
yeah,
not me.
I don't know. That's a new one on me as well.
My own advice, and I have no culinary background, culture, or experience, is, you know, roses and wine are fine, but with liquor, it's quicker. I mean, like, booze, you just can't beat it.
Yeah, that's right. Get them jacked up. Jesus, I like your style, Evan.
All right. My thanks. A happy Valentine's Day to Gary O'Hanlon, executive chef par excellence in Lowry in France. Thank you, as always, for joining us on The Hard Shoulder.
Take care.